3-4 defense. He's Jake Lindley. He loves beer and chewing tobacco, football and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jake Lindley.
Better believe it. One thing is, Jay Binkley will not stand down from a challenge. So to give a little bit of backstory, we're talking about Cyrus Allen this entire preseason because he's been the camp darling.
That's right.
That on Cody and Gold. They do their camp darling thing every year. This is what they do. And we get the random out of the wilderness text yesterday. Just remember, Binkley didn't like the Cyrus Allen pick. So your boy went through audio yesterday after the show and, you know, went through the draft specials because we have really good producers here that, you know, categorize things. And Mac was standing on my shoulder and we're clicking through. We finally find the Cyrus Allen pick. And it was more so Unicero doing the talking. And, you know, Binkley kind of being like, I really don't know much about this guy. You know, maybe he's a return specialist. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of information on him because all this other stuff.
Right.
And the only thing that we could remotely find that maybe somebody would have taken a minute thing and ran with it and overreacted was,
despite the Cyrus Allen pick, this draft will receive really good grades.
So, Binkley, in the words of Andy Reid, time's yours.
Time's yours. Well, I mean, the thing was, when Cyrus came out, and I'll give full credit to Dane Brugler. I think you guys had him on. He loved him. He said he's got in his book, he puts his book out called The Beast. He's widely considered the best guy in the draft. He says this guy will show out during training camp, and he was 100% right on Cyrus. But, no, I just felt that the grade, the overall grade, which grades are silly in the draft. That's why we don't really do grades after the draft, because you got to wait for years really to go grade a draft. It's like, you know, the Chiefs were given a C+, I think, when they drafted Mahomes. But Cyrus Allen, just say, a lot of these guys, you know, had a lot of prestige coming into the season. Cyrus really didn't, to be honest with you. So if anybody was going to knock it, it was because of that. I mean, he didn't go to the combine, so naturally your score is not going to be as high. Now, I've been nothing but giving Cyrus praise since OTAs.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody has, I think, because of the way that he's gone out there and the way that he's balled out. But we're also talking about a fifth-round draft pick, Jay. I mean, like, as we get late in the draft, it's a lot of shot in the dark. And how can you really know a lot in your position? And Jay's the best draft guy we have in Kansas City, guys. There's nobody even close. But how can a guy in your position really evaluate somebody who wasn't even invited to the combine? Like, they drafted a guy in the fifth round who nobody really even knew about. And so that's why I think we all go, oh, okay, that's an interesting one, right? And then we watch the guy play, we gather more information, and then we can have our opinion from that. It's okay to change opinions on players.
Yeah. It's interesting because Jeff Caldwell, who is here as an undrafted free agent, actually went to the combine. It was Cyrus that didn't, but Cyrus got drafted. Jeff Caldwell didn't. Jeff Caldwell, of going from 5'8 to 6'5 between his junior and senior year, incredible rise. But really, the only time you see him is at Arrowhead Stadium. Clearly, he played with Brendan Sorsby, so clearly we watched some Brendan Sorsby stuff. But you see Cyrus Allen there with Brendan Sorsby. He had less than 700 yards receiving. He did have 13 touchdowns, which really stood out. But he went to four colleges. We're talking Louisiana Tech, A&M, and then he finally ends up at Cincinnati. So not a lot of stuff was out on Cyrus Allen because he didn't go to the combine. But I will say this, he did go to the American Bowl, which is kind of a lower-level college all-star game for late-round picks or undrafted-type picks, and he showed out. And because of that performance, he got invited to the Senior Bowl, which he goes down there and really did well against some of the top cornerbacks in college football. And guarantee you, he got on the radar of a lot of NFL teams down at the Senior Bowl when they could sit down, talk to him, watch him, evaluate him, and stuff like that, because here's a guy that's not going to the combine, but oh, look. And they've done that before. They got Jade Knott, the extra running back, could probably be on the practice squad. He was at a Senior Bowl standout, scored a touchdown there. He played at Oklahoma, barely played there, but 2 years ago he led the Pac-12 in rushing, and that's when Mendoza was on the team. That's when UCLA, USC, Oregon, all those teams are still in the Pac-12. He barely plays at Oklahoma. Chief scouting department decided to bring him in. Obviously, they brought in DeMarco Murray. But Cyrus Allen was kind of in that category too. But I've always liked the guy because of the chip on his shoulder from when he's been in Kansas City. Hey, forget about the fact that I didn't go to the draft. Went to the NFL or to the All-American Bowl. Get invited to the Senior Bowl. So one thing led to another, and now look at what he's doing. My biggest problem was they waited till the fifth round to get a receiver. You guys know how I was clamoring for receivers, not just this year, but the year before as well. And I was just like, all right, fifth round, you're getting a receiver. That's great. I mean, I would never complain about them drafting a receiver anywhere in the draft, to be honest with you, because they need guys to catch the football. But I think it was more or less waiting till the fifth round to grab a receiver was kind of my issue.
How are you on the Josh Simmons nowadays, that pick? I know you remember you said you didn't like it. Are you still okay with that pick? Is that something that you're still kind of holding on to?
Well, yeah, and last year really changed my mind a lot when he goes through OTAs and when he goes to training camp and didn't miss a single practice. And you're like, okay, this guy's got something. But, you know, he's had the issues this year or whatever, but he needs to work out. Like, I'm pulling for Josh Simmons to work out because that way they don't have to screw around with left tackle in the draft again. I mean, they've tried for the last, not this year, but the previous 2 years. They draft Kingsley to be their left tackle in the second round. He gets moved to guard. Then you go back in the first round the next year and get Josh Simmons. So all the while you're neglecting, you know, getting wide receivers and getting other talent. So they tried to fix this left tackle position. But, yeah, it's incredibly imperative that Josh Simmons works out. I'm pulling for the guy. I mean, he's incredibly strong. I hope it works out with Josh Simmons. But, yeah, that would be absolutely outstanding because they need that left tackle so they can concentrate on other positions. Like this year, wide receiver, tight end. Because tight end, I mean, that is going to be a key position for the Chiefs because Travis Kelce's either led or been second in receiving yards for the last decade. In the last 2 years, he's led the Chiefs in receptions and catches as well. So looking forward to that. And, you know, I'm not so concerned. Cyrus Allen, I mean, he's showing a lot of talent. I would not be surprised if he gets a lot of catches this year for the Chiefs. And Andy Reid has played rookies before. I know people are always hard on Andy Reid and rookies, but, you know, Xavier Worthy as a rookie did lead the Chiefs in yards and receptions during the postseason that went to the Super Bowl, even more than Kelce. That was a rookie. Rashee Rice finished second of all rookies drafted his rookie year, only behind Puka in yards and catches. So they have used rookies before. And then Kareem Hunt, when he was a rookie, led the NFL in rushing. So he has used rookies before. Maybe not a ton, but he has used some. And Cyrus Allen, I believe, will be one of those rookies used a lot for the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, Jay, what's holding you back on Josh Simmons?
Nothing, really. I just want to see him put a season together. You know, that's, I mean, Bobby's missed 19 games the last 2 years. He missed 10 his final year at Ohio State. Oh. And he gets hurt, and they didn't miss a beat because they won the national title that year. So he missed 10 games there. He missed 9 with the Kansas City Chiefs. So availability is huge with me, and I do believe in Josh Simmons, and I love his attitude, and I love the fact that he didn't miss any practices last year at OTAs and camp, and I'm not really counting what's going on here with the back in training camp. But nothing's really holding me back. I like his development. I mean, who couldn't like what he's been able to do as a pro? So, yes, he needs to work out for the Chiefs, and to be honest with you, I think he will.
Do we see Ken Walker for the first quarter or just one drive on Saturday?
You know, I'm thinking one drive, possibly two, but it could be the DeMarcado game. I mean, he is the second running back. He is the best blocker as far as the running backs are concerned. I think they do make a shift and use him, and the second half is all Emmitt in the game, but yeah, I do believe you see some Ken Walker. They need to because they don't play a regular season game until the 14th of September, and you know he's not playing in game three. Mm-hmm. So this is really his only action because they don't do the mixed practices. Again, there's 28 teams in the NFL that do joint practices with other teams. The Chiefs aren't one of them. No. And believe it or not, the AFC West is kind of – the Raiders don't do it either, and neither do the Broncos. Yeah, but they don't see another team. So 28 teams do – they don't. This is his time to see another team. So, yeah, I do believe he at least plays through the first quarter. But you never know. Andy Reid always says, well, the starters are going to go a half, and then they never do. They go like two series.
Jay, you mentioned a lot of catches for Cyrus Allen. What does that mean? What are realistic expectations for the rookie wide receiver?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It depends because it looks like they're going to use him a lot. I mean, you know, the way Richie Rice and the availability, and then you think, all right, well, who else is going to be out there? Tyquan Thornton, obviously, was in pads again yesterday, but the hamstring, you know, always concerns you. And Xavier Worthy with the lingering stuff that he's got on. So Cyrus is going to get his chance. So, you know, 850 in yards, maybe. I mean, it might be by necessity, too. But clearly, you look at the talent.
850 in yards. He's challenging for Rookie of the Year.
Well, he might be. But the thing is that I always think, you know, what if coaches had amnesia and they didn't know what happened before? You didn't know where a guy was drafted. You didn't know if some guy was a first rounder, second rounder, seventh rounder, undrafted. And you just went to training camp and you looked. And if you saw Cyrus Allen with the other wide receivers, would you, if you didn't know how many years they played in the NFL, if they were rookie or not, or where they were drafted, would he stand out though, Bob? Yeah, I think he would. Like, would he stand out and you say, man, this might be our, you know, second most talented receiver?
Yeah.
Well, Bink, we appreciate the time, brother. We'll talk to you on Wednesday next week, and if somebody, you know, fires a warning shot, bang, then we'll join. We'll have you come back on Thursday.
Well, I think the whole thing was the fact is we did bring it up that Caldwell went to the combine, and he didn't, but never really going to be ultra-critical on a fifth-round pick. I mean, first round, then you diagnose that quite a bit, or maybe second round, but fifth round, it's like, all right, you took a throw on the dartboard for somebody that might be able to help. And I'll tell you this much, if he does shine for the Kansas City Chiefs, there was a whole lot of people miss, just like they did with Puka, because, you know, big-time talented wide receivers don't go in the fifth round. That means people miss.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never miss, Binkley. I'll say that.
No, and, I do all the time.
Well, that's fine. You said it on me. Bink, we'll talk to you later, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. That is Jay Binkley. Elimination number plus Sam Block says what? 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Time's yours.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Talk a little bit about what Sam Block had to say about the best running backs in each NFL division. No surprise, the AFC North is Derrick Henry.
What? You got to be kidding me on that.
I mean, the ageless wonder.
I was watching workout videos of him yesterday. Yeah. I mean,
something you'll never do. Something we'll all never do.
Well, none of us, but it's like his diet, the way he doesn't eat until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the first meal of the day. What?
You're kind of the same.
I eat about one is the first time that I usually eat something. Because from here, I usually go to the gym, get a workout in. By the time I get home, let the dog out, do all that. It's about 1 o'clock is when I usually get a meal in for the day for the first time.
I wish I was strong like you.
It's not that I'm strong. I'm busy until then, so I really don't have time, per se, more than anything. It's just like you got to keep yourself active.
Yeah.
But I was reading somebody about doing like a 5-day fast or a 4-day fast for gut health.
I'm doing a 3-day one for the last 3 weeks, Monday through Wednesday.
You're not eating?
It's not a full fast, so it's a intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I only eat from...
two to five or something.
So I don't eat lunch Monday through Wednesday. I just eat dinner, and I only drink coffee, water, tea throughout the day.
Yeah, that's great. They say you're... But this guy is legitimately not eating.
And then Thursday through Sunday...
And then you give yourself it all back, and then Monday through
Bring
Wednesday...
Bring on the beer! You know what I mean?
But could you imagine going 3 or 4 or 5 days without eating? I mean, that's ridiculous. They say once you hit like 96 hours, that's when the benefits start.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to, just drink water and let your metabolism think it's working. That's what they say the trick is, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's crazy. But I'm not willing to do something like that. But no, eat around 1, finish around 7, have that window of food. And then they say if you go 18 hours a day straight without eating anything, that's supposed to be really healthy for you.
Because fasting for us for breakfast is pretty easy.
Easy.
Right?
Yes.
We get up at 4-ish, whatever, do the show till 10, get home at 11. You're like, well, breakfast is gone.
Breakfast is over. Yeah.
So it's pretty easy. And for me, I'm sure you guys can see on camera, I drink coffee every morning, and then
I have one cup of coffee.
Tons of water. Mac, you ready for this game that you have no idea that's coming? Player A, B, and C. Do you want to guess? And Bob, you can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you're in studio with me, so you have a little bit of advantage of one of these players. So we talked about Cyrus Allen, 4 games, what you need to see if he's wide receiver 2. Player A, in their first 4 games... with the Kansas City Chiefs, 9 receptions, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns, 15 targets. Player B, for the Kansas City Chiefs in their first four games. 15 receptions, 140 yards, one touchdown, 19 targets. Player C is Puka Nacua. 39 targets. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 39 receptions, 501 yards.
How many,
touchdown on 52 targets.
And how many games?
First four games of the season.
Holy sh!
Yeah. Shiza Manelli for sure.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
That's why everybody's like, this guy could be Puka.
Hold your horses.
Puka Nacua is a top five receiver.
Okay, so
dude had 500 yards in his first four games.
That's right, and 39 receptions. Puka Nacua, 39 catches, 501 yards and a touchdown on 52 targets in his first four games. Do you want to guess who player A is? 9 for 154 and two touchdowns.
Tyreek?
No.
Rashee Rice?
Rashee Rice.
No. Do you want to guess who player B is?
Xavier Worthy?
Xavier Worthy is player A. Rashee Rice is player B.
Mm. Okay. I had it flipped there.
Yeah, because the receptions. Or because of the targets?
So what you're saying is that they're not going to utilize the guy as much as they should because he's young?
I'm just saying two conversations here. One, leave Puka in a world of his own.
Yeah, like stop comparing everybody to Mahomes. Like, stop comparing everybody to Puka.
He broke the all-time rookie record for receiving yards and receptions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
He had 1,500 yards. He had over 100 catches.
He had 105 for 1,486.
Okay, let's just stop right now. Stop putting those expectations on Cyrus.
So that's why I bring that up. Because that's
not fair to him.
That's Puka, right? Like that was what everybody's like, well, if he's a fifth-round pick, leave that name away, okay? Puka's doing what he did. Again, his first four games, 15 targets, 10 receptions, 20 targets, 15 catches, 7 targets, 5.
Did they have injuries to start that season, though? Was that the year they went out and got Davante Adams late in the year because they didn't have anybody else?
No.
Wow. So they actually...
That was 2023.
2023. That wasn't the year they went out and traded for Davante Adams late in the season?
No, I don't think so.
I think it was. I absolutely think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm almost positive it was that year because that was only like two years ago.
I thought this was his second year. This will be his third year with the Rams.
Is it really?
That
first game for at least in the stat sheet that it shows, passing, rushing, receiving, Stafford, Kyron Williams, Cam Akers, Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua, Tyler Higbee, Van Jefferson, Bryson Hopkins, and Ben Skowronek.
That's the year they went out and traded for Devontae.
2024.
They had nobody.
2024 was the year they traded for him.
What year was this? 2023?
23.
Yeah. So they had to go out and trade for him because look at that lineup of players. That's why Puka was featured so much. Van Jefferson. I like that guy 20 years ago.
No one was talking about Puka Nacua. They were talking about Van Jefferson.
They were, absolutely, because he was a fifth-round draft pick as a wide receiver. Now everybody's talking about Cyrus Allen, A, because he's catching passes for Patrick Mahomes, but B, now we have the litmus test of the fifth-round wide receiver, guys. So anytime a fifth-round wide receiver now starts to show a little bit, it's all, Puka Nacua. So that guy's going to gain buzz and gain steam just because of the perception of what Puka Nacua did. But my God, we cannot have those expectations. Not fair to have those expectations for Cyrus
Allen. Again, Worthy in his first four games with the Chiefs had 15 targets, 9 receptions, 154 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Rashee Rice had 19 targets for 15 receptions, 140 yards, and a touchdown. If Cyrus Allen does any of that, what's that say for him moving forward?
Mahomes loves him. I think 19 targets.
Because I could go deeper and look at what Kelsey did in those first four games and both those seasons. But again, Rashee Rice got better as the season went on, as we know. But the targets, 19 is impressive.
That's a huge number.
Your first four. That's when you, again, you talk about Puka getting all those numbers. He had Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and MVS.
I know.
And he was like, hey, who's this guy? Number four.
Yeah.
Boom.
Rice, because he didn't have anybody else. And so I think now you actually got some other guys. You know, you've got still Travis. You've got some other weapons. The Rams that year, though, that list that you read there, I mean, that's a who's who of nobodies at that wide receiver position. So, just like it was for the Chiefs. That's why Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy were thrown in the mix so fast. I ain't throwing to Sky Moore. I'm not throwing to this guy. I'm not throwing to Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, they're going to need to feed him for sure. They're going to have to because they just don't have much else. At least in my opinion right now. Three total touchdowns there for Xavier Worthy because of the rushing attempts there. And I don't think Cyrus Allen will get that.
That was a part of his game that we never saw last year, obviously, because of the collision.
Yeah, and the ankle and everything. Yeah. Because that first game was that jet sweep against the Ravens. That was really the one time we saw Xavier Worthy's speed. That
was
one against the Ravens. Like, yeah. Oh, there it is.
There it is. That's, and then the we speed. Never saw that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I'm just going off receiving numbers.
No, sure.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I mean, that's sick. I mean, those Puka Nacua numbers are disgustingly, unbelievably weird.
Yeah,
man. Like, I mean, I don't even, like, that's
39 for 501.
I'm stunned.
Now, again, the rest of the year, he would only get 9 receptions once. Like, those first
four people
games,
started figuring him out. The league adjusted.
Those first four games were there, and it was like, okay, we have to bracket this guy. This is more than just a flash in the pan.
That's right.
Because that's where, that was, I think, the take that I had going into fantasy football that year, because he did that first game, and I said, your waiver wire money doesn't matter after week 5. I said, so if you see a guy that does that, throw it all out there and just go get him. Because after that, he just won fantasy leagues for people because he was just so automatic. But yeah, that's crazy to think 39. I haven't put an asterisk next to it in my notes because, like, just stop.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, we talk about it in baseball all the time. You mentioned that cat who had 3 straight home runs to open his career and was 0 for 19. That's the league adjusting to you and figuring you out. If you're going to stay in this league, you've got to adjust back to the league. And clearly, Puka adjusted back to the league after they adjusted to him. And so that's the next kind of phase of Cyrus Allen. How many teams now are going to be gunning for this guy, though, at the beginning of the year because of all this hype and highlights and stuff that we've seen? I think people are going to have a kind of a lookout for Cyrus Allen right now. So it'll be interesting to see him against other teams, but also when he kind of hits that rookie wall, how does he adjust? And again, this is where Chad O'Shea comes into the fold as well. Now you've got a veteran wide receiver coach that's been in the league for 17 years, and he can look at him and go, coach, man, what am I supposed to do? What's the next step of me evolving? And Chad O'Shea has talked about this guy loves the coaching and loves the learning and all of that kind of stuff. So it's all starting to shape up the way we want it to shape up. And if Cyrus Allen ends up becoming Patrick Mahomes' number one target, it doesn't matter where he was drafted, what round, what place, what school, any of that. If these two guys form this connection, hell, Tyreek Hill was a junior college guy that was a running back that turned into Patrick Mahomes. So it doesn't matter where you find these guys. It matters how you develop them. And the Chiefs have an opportunity now to finally develop their wide receivers because they got a coach in there that knows what he's doing.
Now, Xavier Worthy, a starter his first year with Shee Rice, I don't think was. And Puka, obviously. And to the text that we're getting, yes, that was the year Cooper Kupp got hurt. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's, yeah, and that's also why the numbers
big
were
number, big numbers, reason why. Yeah.
Because Cooper's doing that. But if you look at Rashee Rice, this is why I think Mack is so in on Rashee Rice, which there's no reason not to be. You look at Rashee Rice's 2024 first four games, obviously game 4, no stat given because that's the game that Mahomes knocks him out with the friendly fire.
Gosh, yeah.
But before that, it started week 1, 9 targets, 7 catches, 103 yards. Week 2, 6 targets, 5 catches, 75 yards. Week 3, 14 targets, 12 receptions, 110 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it was baller. There. It was coming.
The baller.
Yeah, it was coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that happened.
Accident. Injury.
Yeah, you got to separate the art from the artist a little bit with Rashee Rice. You can't bring up the off-the-field stuff when you talk about him as a football player. He's been really, really good.
Oh, he's been great as a player on the field, but... You know, the biggest thing is the availability. So let's just hope his availability continues to be available.
And again, has not done anything bad during the season. Again, we're 3 weeks away.
Isn't that sad, though, that we have to say that? No, this guy hasn't done anything bad. You're an adult. should behave.
Yeah, it's the NFL.
You're right. Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it's sad that we have to say that kind of stuff. Like, we have to talk about grown adults and go, well, he's behaving.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this because this is kind of what we were talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Just like, to the casual fan hearing, oh, Puka, hearing these names, you're like, oh, wow, Cyrus Allen's going to be a game changer. And I'm glad you tweeted that out yesterday about where people are taking him in fantasy drafts. I was impressed with the comments from Chiefs fans because, like, undrafted, 12th round, not going to take him, maybe 3rd in Dynasty. I'm like, okay, good. People at least have a sense of what's happening here. This will take a while to ramp up. Stephon Diggs, the other 5th-round pick that he's been coupled with, 720 yards his rookie year. So it's a really good rookie season, over 50 catches, 4 touchdowns.
And so it's good to look at
Bigley
that and
thinks
see.
He could beat that.
It's good to look at that and see, hey, you know what? 5th-round draft picks can have an impact on here, but I don't want to set that – is the bar for this guy or the expectation for him. I'm more interested to see how Kenneth Walker is involved in this offense, quite frankly, than I am Cyrus Allen. Because if we don't get Kenneth Walker the right amount of carries, the right situations, actually running the ball, fooling the defense, Cyrus Allen ain't going to have a chance in hell.
They had an under center play action screen pass yesterday, which was awesome. Under center, real play action, and then a screen pass that completely worked to Kenneth Walker. I think they are... Andy Reid's going to have that back in his back because he actually has someone to run.
He actually has somebody to do it with now, too. Yes. And that's the other thing. That's, and we talk about Andy evolving. Andy's probably yelling at the radio right now going, Bob, I didn't have anybody. I couldn't run the screen pass. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Someone did ask what Stephon Diggs' first four games were. Also impressive, also a name to maybe leave out when trying to think of what Cyrus Allen's comp can be until we see more evidence. Stephon Diggs, 25, 419, two touchdowns on 40 targets. Those were his first four games.
Did he play all the games?
He did not.
Okay, I was going to say, so he would have had 1,000 yards.
Yeah, so he didn't play until week four.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Why?
He had 700 yards his rookie year. First four games, he had 400 of them.
But yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Wait, he played his first four?
No, his first four games that he played.
Yeah.
He missed the first three games of the season.
Oh.
I don't know what that was in Minnesota, but I mean, his second game of his career was against our Kansas City Chiefs where he had 7 for 129.
Was that the game up in Minnesota? No, I'm trying to think when that game was.
It was definitely in Minnesota.
What year?
2018. 2015, I'm sorry. 2015.
Oh, 2015. Okay, yeah. That's a long time ago. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, man. That was his first four games. So, yeah, and 25 for 419, two touchdowns on 40 targets. If Cyrus Allen has 40 targets in the first four games, something is massively wrong with Ricer Worthy.
Yeah, or he's just that good. I mean, he's just wide open all the time.
They
who knows?
They clearly have a connection.
They do. They, I mean, that's have the thing. Yeah. That's budding,
you can't lie to my eyes.
Yeah. No, that's what I will it's say. Happening. Yeah. Well, and Mahomes is doing his screaming after passing to Allen. He's doing that about a rookie. He's screaming, you know, cussing at the defense, talking about that's my guy. Like, that's already happening.
I mean, that's why I, you know, who poo-poos all this training camp hype and whatnot, as rightfully so, this one just hits different. This one just, I can't, other than like Jared Allen having this kind of impact on the field where everybody was like, oh my God, I don't remember this type of, oh my God, impact that somebody's having in training camp. Because you didn't expect it out of Jared Allen either. He was a fourth round long snapper.
So this is also kind of interesting here. Ken Walker last year, unless those are preseason. No, those are not. 1, 2, 3. Ken Walker had 3 100-yard rushing games last year for Seattle. You taking that over this year?
Say that again.
Ken Walker had 3 100-yard rushing games in the regular season for Seattle. Obviously, four. He had 4 100-yard rushing games last year for Seattle. You taking the over or under on that for Ken Walker this year? Now, again, Charbonnet was there.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to take the over, because he had a running mate there. I don't know that he has that same running mate, obviously, yet here in Kansas City. No, I'll take 100-yard games. Yeah, I think we have to be over that, guys. I think we have to overly commit to the run this year. So, yeah, I'm going to say.
That's actually also a lie. He had three. He had, because if you count the regular season, he had 2 100-yard rushing games. He added on September 14th, mm-hmm. He had 105, and on December 18th, he had 100. Now, he had 2 100-yard games in the playoffs. He was a man in the playoffs. He had 135 in that Super Bowl, which is why he won Super Bowl MVP, mm-hmm. And he had 116 in the divisional round where they just beat the absolute snot out of San Francisco 41-6.
Yeah, when Charbonnet was hurt as
well. Yeah.
So, 2 in the regular season.
2 in the regular season. And then the other numbers are these: 38, 81, 86, 34, 66, 42, 67, 67, 71, 56, those type of numbers.
I'm just going to say right off the jump, I need more than that. You paid the guy $13 million. Yes, again, he had that. He shared time there. But I need more than that. I want to feature Ken Walker more in this offense. That's just my take.
Because the reason I bring that up is Sam Block has Ken Walker as the best running back in the AFC West. Yeah. I think I can. I can't do this. Amarian Hampton. That's the Chargers running back. Yep. I know they're going to use others, but that's the guy,
right? Yep.
That's their number one, I think, on their depth chart, yep. If that even isn't a thing and that exists in the Mike McDaniels offense with the Los Angeles Chargers. The Raiders is Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, I thought that's where they would definitely go with that.
And then,
I'm surprised by that.
I am, too. That's why I thought this was a pretty interesting topic.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I mean, Ashton Jeanty is like the layup. Just throw it out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's going to be the best running back. But he picked Ken Walker, which is cool.
And then Denver's running back, that's where I struggle.
Yeah, they'll have,
so do they.
They'll have a
a mixed bag,
yes,
right?
Yeah, R.J. Harvey's like their Darren Sproles. They'll still have J.K. Dobbins out there who'll probably get hurt.
And he's already
got
hurt.
McLaughlin.
Yeah. I remember when we had a lot of running backs that we weren't real sure about and how that worked for you last year. Sean Payton rolling into that same thing as Andy Reid. Maybe they become a predictable offense out there in Denver, and we could just pin our ears back and knock Bo Nix in the next week.
They like this rookie, Jonah Coleman. Mm. Yeah, they've got a few guys. We'll see. Sean Payton's never really struggled with the running back, though. That's not been his thing. He struggled with wide receivers. Andy Reid and him are the opposite in that way. Yeah, I'm okay with Ken Walker being the best in the AFC West.
Oh,
though.
I am too. Yeah.
That's not a crazy take.
You better have more than 2 100-yard games.
Yeah, no, I need more than that, though. Yeah, I definitely need a lot more than 2 100-yard games. I would think to myself, and again, this is just thinking off the top of my head, half your games, 100-yard games for Ken Walker, 8 games at 100. I don't know. And again, I'm asking and talking at the same time. What's the average amount of 100-yard games that a running back has in the NFL? Because as we talk about double-digit sacks, we need double-digit sacks. Then you realize like only 10 dudes a year get double-digit sacks.
Yeah, Gibbs had 3. Gibbs had 3. If you want to take the best running back last season, Jonathan Taylor, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, yeah. So 8's a big number then, yeah.
8's huge.
So let's say let's say 5. I'll take 5 games then of 100 yards.
If you want to count Jonathan Taylor for 6, because one of them was 240 yards.
No, but I mean, the 8's, again, like I said, it's probably like the sack thing where double-digit sacks sounds normal when you're having a conversation, but it really isn't when you look at the research of it.
Yes.
So, again, Gibbs, similar. What did Montgomery have last year? Didn't he have like 600? Because was that last year or 2 years ago where he was like close to his incentive line and missed it by like 1 yard because he got hurt?
Oh yeah, he got hurt. Yeah, I can't quite remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Montgomery, 100-yard game last year. He had 700 and something yards.
Yeah, so he had 700.
Yeah,
and so I mean they were hit. And then now this year, I bet I would smash the over on like 4.5 for Gibbs to have 100 yards.
Yes.
Because the other thing, too, is like I wonder how many – I don't know if he had any 100-yard receiving games that Gibbs might have had as well. Now, that's not really Ken Walker's bag, but if I told you
– wow, this is a number that's interesting with the 100-yard games real quick. Per average last year, teams average between 2.8 and 3.2 individual 100-yard rushers per season. So you're looking – I mean, 3 is – I mean – damn.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson had 4. Like, yeah.
I didn't realize
eight,
this is why we're talking about it.
Like, 8 is not.
Yeah, no, 8's stupid. That was dumb for putting that one.
No, it's fair. Yeah, we're having the conversation, though.
But Derrick Henry did it in 8 games. James Cook did it in 9 games last year. But the average is about 2.8
to 3.
Right about, 3. So 3 is a good number.
What do you think the perception of Ken Walker would be in the city if he had 1,027 yards, averaged 4.6 a game, and had 5 touchdowns?
Great, I think. I think that's a good season.
You think that's great?
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
That's solid. I think
that
that's
was
solid.
His numbers last year.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, with the money you paid, that's fine?
Yeah, because 1,000 yards shows you're committed to the run. How many touchdowns did he get in the passing game? And I think Andy will utilize him differently in the passing game and the screen game.
Really good out of
but if that's
field.
Just what I get out of rushing just from Ken Walker, oh, yeah, I'm good with that. I'm real good with that. Because I think a 1,000-yard rusher, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, you may think differently, I think that changes the whole dynamic of this offense. Because that's a commitment to the run.
Yeah, I agree. 17 running backs last year with 1,000 rushing yards. I would like him to be over that barely 1,000 mark. I'd like him to be in that 1,200 more range. Really, the touchdowns is the only thing that stuck out to me. 4 or 5 touchdowns. Now they use Charbonnet in the red zone all the time. Yeah. That will not be the case here, hopefully. I imagine he's the guy getting in the end zone more often.
Yeah, I would think so here, probably, unless you're completing these, 80-yard passes to Cyrus Allen or something like that. But I would imagine he's going to be your featured back. He's great inside the tackle. He breaks a lot of tackles. But we did see Emmett Johnson break 10 tackles in that first preseason game as well. So maybe he factors in. Again, I know this is a wet blanket. Collectively, tell me what the running backs are going to do this year. And that's how we'll judge the success, I think, of this offense.
Last year, no receiving touchdowns
for Ken?
For Ken Walker.
All right.
31 receptions for 282. No touchdowns.
Yeah, I have to look at his over-under now for this season because he's going to be used way more out of the backfield.
I want to see more than 2025.
Hands.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's where I wrap this topic up because I want to see more from K9 the third when it comes to the contract and where he could be on this team. And I think hopefully the team will do that. But 282 receiving, 0 touchdowns. I'd like to see more of that if I'm being an honest person here. We'll get into some Hall of Fame, no doubters as well. But, well, Bob, we got mad about pigs in the studio. So I feel like we might be on the same page here. We get back on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Alohi Gilman, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Some notes from Kauffman Stadium last night. The wonderful Jake Eisenberg, who joins Cody and Gold, thought this was kind of an alarming, because we're doing stats all of a sudden. I don't know why I got into this like rabbit hole of stats. There was this gummy in the bathroom. I thought it was a vitamin. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But Salvador Perez.
Oh, you're going to need your gummy after I give this description coming up.
Oh,
after
America.
Perez.
Oh, yeah. So I will say that last night, Salvador Perez, great win last night for the Royals. It's always fun to beat the A's coming from behind. You can't spell ass without A's.
I always like when the A's play Seattle and it spells ass with the logos.
Better believe it. Yeah. Salvador Perez became the second all-time by himself RBI in Kauffman Stadium, passing Hal McCray. He was tied with Hal. Now he's in second by himself. You want to guess who's number one all-time for most RBI in Kauffman Stadium?
Yeah, Mike? I'm going to guess the Hall of Famer.
George Brett. Wondering if Salvador Perez can catch George Brett. Why is it only 300 RBIs behind George Brett?
Just at home. Yeah, so that's another 6 years,
Brett's
basically.
Like, well, at least I got that one.
Yeah, so if you say you get 100 RBIs a year, 6 years that fit divided by two gives you 50. So you, yeah, it's not happening.
No way.
Not when they're out of there in like 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing. There's just no chance left for him to do something like that. So I'm going to tell a story, and everybody's going to listen, and we're going to enjoy this, and I want the feedback from the text line. He would say the time is mine. So for my entire life, I always knew I had, you know, Jewish blood in me. We just never knew how much. My grandmother always used to talk about her Jewish heritage, and then, you know, my mother and father were married by a rabbi, and then it just kind of ended. We never
so that's
really
why
talked
when you walked
about
into
it, right?
Cat's Deli, they're like, hey,
yeah,
buddy.
Right. Yeah, they knew me, right? And so my sister had a 23andMe test or whatever, and she did it because why not?
And you trust it.
Yeah, you try it. Most people have, you know, it's come back, you know, pretty good for just about everybody, right? And it came back that we were 28.7% Ashkenazi Jewish, which is a form of Judaism, right? And so I'm talking to the guys at the J about all of this. They're like, oh, my God, that's the best percentage to be because it's not too much. It's perfect. And they go, you've got it. Did you have a bar mitzvah? I said, no, I never had a bar mitzvah when I was a kid because I didn't know we were this much, you know, Jewish. And my sister married a Jewish guy and they're raising their kids Jewish. And my nephew had his bar mitzvah back in March. And so once we discovered all of this and realized, oh, I'm going to be 50, we've decided April 17th, I'm having a bar mitzvah. So put this down on your calendars because you're all going to get invited.
I'm going to be
it.
Out of town.
On April 17th?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Somewhere in April.
Yeah. you're going to miss the bar mitzvah. So like, get bent. My friend Jeremy Dixon's going to have it at his place. He owns DSS. It's a huge, you know, sound system company here in Kansas City, huge warehouse we're going to do this in. And so, like, Dixon puts on these unbelievable parties every single year where it's just – they're blowout parties, right? Mm-hmm. And he told my wife, he goes, look, I got a guy that has a zebra. We should have a zebra at Bob's Bob Mitzvah. And I'm like, I am in on having a zebra at the Bob Mitzvah for no other reason than there's a zebra there. And I'm going to take my picture with the zebra, and it doesn't make any sense. But if you've got a friend who has a zebra guy, you've got to maximize that and have that at your 50th birthday party. And my wife is anti having a zebra at this party. But everybody that I have talked to is like, yeah, you got to have a zebra at this party. So I texted Mac yesterday because he's now married and can have these idiotic conversations with his wife. Mm-hmm. And I said, ask your wife this. Is she in favor of a zebra being at the Bob Mitzvah? It's going to be there. It's not going to run around or anything like that. It's going to be a wild animal. But you got a friend that's got a zebra connection and you're celebrating your 50th birthday. Don't you think there should be a zebra at this party?
No.
Why not? Well, you're not going anyway. So, Mac, you.
I was pro zebra.
Yeah.
I was pro zebra. As you can guess, Siobhan, not pro zebra.
Not pro zebra.
Not pro zebra. So yeah. This is obviously becoming a guy versus girl
thing.
Well,
I don't know. It's just my wife and her, the only two that I've heard from that is not. Like Tammy from the West is like, yeah, gotta have the zebra. Mario Stone, gotta have the zebra.
You have access to a zebra, which already is cool. And if you want the zebra,
right.
What do we do?
How many people have access to a zebra?
None that I know,
right.
Except for you now.
I didn't even know that
zebra
I had
guy.
It, right? Dix is like, I got a zebra guy if we want to have the zebra. And my wife's guy. Like, no, we're not having a zebra. I'm like, why?
Come on.
Gotta have the zebra.
Would she be cool with like a llama?
I've always wanted an emu in the backyard. She struck down that too.
I grew up with, I wouldn't say a friend, but they were a friend growing up and did theater with them. And they had a llama or emu or something in their backyard.
Yeah.
As a pet. And
do you still have connections to this person?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell them to bring it to the bob mitzvah, April 17th.
I think it's now sadly passed away. They had it for so long, but yeah, it was, they loved it. It was like a pet. It was like a dog or whatever. They loved
it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm pro-zebra.
I mean, you walk in and there's a zebra. You take your picture. You go over to the bar. Like,
yeah.
I mean, what's...
Come on.
And then you can say, well, there's a zebra at the... And people, what? There's a what? The party? Yeah,
I would
there's
like,
a zebra.
I would like a picture with the zebra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should just put yourself in a cage. Go from a petting zoo to the petting Jew.
I will put myself in a cage, right? That'll be fun.
Yeah, you should do like the... You know what you should do, which is something that would be very on par for your personality... is be the guy that they used to have in like the 90s like fairs where they would heckle and you could throw the softballs at the target to see they get dunked.
Oh,
in the
I would go in a dunk tank for my 50.
And you
50?
Get to heckle anybody.
Yeah,
everybody,
cool.
Knows, everybody knows what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
No animals are harmed. You're not going to be harmed. You get to sit in a swim. And now it's April. Could be interesting at that time of day. But I that'd be kind of fun.
I'd do a dunk tank too. Sure, why not? Yeah, I charge everybody $25 to throw up, and then I give all the money to charity. No, it's straight to
oh, there we go.
Yeah,
that's a good
straight
idea.
To the BMA Foundation and
nice.
Straight to Building Hope for Autism. Right
actually
there,
not a just, bad idea.
You know, no, it's not. Now that we're talking about it, Alan Dixon, if you got a guy with a zebra, you got to have a guy with a dunk tank too.
We've getting some texts here.
Tons of them.
Yeah, you only turned 50 once, Bob. It's not your wife's birthday. All caps, zebra.
Yeah. I told you, Mac, people would love the zebra concept.
Of course. I can't think of a reason not to have a zebra from the 815.
Right?
Yeah.
This comes from the 816. There are some dudes that have camels just south of Kansas City, Bob.
My mother has the zebra.
He also has llamas. Your mom will be there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then I'll be there.
Yeah. She says, yes, 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 have the zebra. Very memorable. Llamas spit.
Yep.
Yeah, they all poop.
Do
they?
So do camels.
Camels do, too.
Mm-hmm. They told us that in Aladdin.
That's real, then? They actually do spit at you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah.
I don't want to.
I'm, you know me. It's your 50th. I'll be 40. I think I'm going to go to Cancun. You guys are invited. We can all just, you can just go.
Hello, America.
All inclusive. 40th birthday, right?
Yeah.
You do that. You set it up a year in advance. You pay for it all up front. And then, or not all up front, but pay through it periodically. And then, you know, you by the time you go, it's basically free, right, at that point. Do whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah.
It's your 50th. You only turned 50 one time.
If
you want a zebra,
so.
Have a damn zebra.
Thank you. That's where I am at this one.
And you're going to have somebody there that's going to be the caretaker of it.
Yeah, the guy's got it. Like, the guy has a farm, and he raises them, I guess. I don't know.
Now, it would be
know?
Funny if you just put somebody in a referee outfit in the middle of your backyard.
Yeah.
Told you we have zebras.
936 said we had drink donkeys.
What?
Yeah, I've got to look up what that...
What is a drink donkey? Did the donkeys walk around with drinks on their back like a burro and carry the...
I think that might be
That's kind of cool.
I think that might be what's happening. Yeah. Yeah, they walk around with like two
really?
Compartments on either side with a bunch of coolers. Yeah, with coolers full of beer and drinks. And you walk around and you're like, all right, thank you.
That's insane.
Yeah, they're pretty popular for weddings, apparently.
No kidding. Why don't you have that at
yeah,
yours?
What the hell?
Somebody says, can we get a picture of Bob that sitting on the zebra for a photo?
Well, if they allow it, I don't know. I don't know if the zebras are animals that you could ride.
Somebody says, don't get shot in the neck by a tranquilizer dart.
I know, that's it. Yeah. It's a dart, man.
You're crazy. You're effing crazy, man. Dude, you just took that right in the jugular. And I had no idea that Binkley knew that you were Jewish, because last year he broke the glass and said, Chaim, right when he got to your house for the party.
Yeah, right. And right, he did. He did break. He brings a six-pack of glass bottles, smashes them all over them.
Hey, beer just tastes better out of glass, Bob. That's crazy. No, do whatever you want to do, man. Who cares? It's your birthday.
Yeah.
Somebody says, Bob needs to dress up as P.T. Barnum. So Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Sorry, Jen. Love you, but
get bent.
And on that note, we'll get into somebody else who can get pins. 96.5 The Fan, you're over Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Ken Walker III, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.